This is a Stand Up New York Labs production, providing you podcasts since 2013. Welcome to What a Time to Be Alive, the only podcast counting down everything this week that made you say, "What a time to be alive." And now, Patrick Monahan, Kath Barbadoro, and Eli Uden.
How's it going, folks? Welcome to What a Time to Be Alive, the only podcast that counts down the things each week to make you say the thing that's the title of the podcast. I'm Patrick Monahan.
I'm Kath Barbadoro.
And I'm Eli Uden.
Oh, that was pretty good.
That was pretty good, yeah.
Pretty damn good. We have a special guest with us today.
Yeah, Eli is, he R.I.P. He's a little sick, and, we're just doing this as a tribute to him.
He's basically on injured reserve, but happy to be here.
Yeah, so we got New York comedian, also a tall man.
Very tall, fellow tall man. Yep. Mainly, well, JP, you're very funny, mainly booked height for height reasons.
Yeah, I understand, and yeah, I'm in the Tall Actors Guild, so there's only so many of us. If you got a scab to come in here and work in Eli's place, that would have been a problem.
Yeah.
Yeah, so JP McDade, everybody.
Hey.
At JP.
You said that like
McDade.
You were expecting people to applaud, and now I feel bad that there was no one.
Everybody, please make some noise for next comic.
If you're driving, just clap real quick.
You guys ready for more show? We're going to keep this thing going.
There's no good way to do that, is
nope.
there? There's no...
To intro someone on a podcast? No.
Well, definitely not that,
definitely
but
not
also
that.
Just if you're hosting and there's... Like, I feel like you can change it up if there's, like, three comics, but if you're hosting a showcase, like, there's just no... You have to just say the same thing.
Because you're doing it seven times, you're going to run out of...
Yeah. Like,
are you ready to continue the laughing extravaganza?
And I feel like your goal... Well, it's kind of different in New York because people do material between people, but, like, I feel like most places your goal is to be off stage as soon as possible. So it's just like, thank you very much, give it up for your next comic, the very funny...
It's like, if we could think of a way to make the comics hand the mic to each other, we would, okay? This is not really worth it.
They do that at some places, like, they have somebody on a back mic.
Comedy Store, they don't have anybody that's just go one after the other.
Ghost host.
I did an open mic with George Gordon. Yeah, it was a random, like, not all comedy open mic. It was in
It
was in Bushwick, and there was a slam poet. There was, like, some music people. I was like, what's going on here? He's like, I don't know. He's like, so we're, and he's like, the guy's like, is it cool if you guys split 10 minutes? So it's like, okay, so we're going to...
Split this, 10 minutes?
Yeah, like, how's this going to work? He's like, well, he'll do five, and then he'll bring you up.
We'll go joke for
five.
Joke,
like,
actually.
Right.
We'll just be on stage at the same time.
And there's just this very strange, like, moment where he's like, and that's my time, so I'm going to bring up your next...
You guys are like the Temptations, just sharing one microphone on the stage. Just dipping in and out. I used to do an open mic down in the Lower East Side, one of the first mics I did. It would start at 7 o'clock, and it would go till... conservatively 2 in the morning every single time.
Love it.
And it was a mixed mic. It was comedy and music. Comedians would get like 5 minutes, but musicians would get quote unquote 2 songs.
Oh,
and a
no.
song could just be as long as you want it to be.
Oh, no.
Either got a DaVita length songs were played and then
we're all familiar with November Rain. Well,
you will be after, you will be in the next 30 minutes when
even,
I'm done with it.
I don't even like it. I just try to maximize my time here.
Just getting learning to get comfortable on stage, just like the most time possible.
Right. It's like you put $2 in the jukebox, you get 3 songs. Like, I'm getting a half hour out of this. All right, we're doing fucking Paradise by the Dashboard Light live, which is even longer. We're doing November
Rain. You cover
Rain.
The live version live. Yeah.
This is Haydn's string quartet in E minor.
Can you be the Phil Rizzuto part of this thing? Can you be the Phil Rizzuto part when that interminable instrumental part in the middle? Okay, cool.
Holy cow!
That's right.
Is that the part?
Yeah, well, it's like they're supposed to be like doing it at that part, and then they're about to be, they're like making out.
That song is insane.
It really is insane. It's about a guy lying to get what he wants, and then I guess getting her pregnant, and then it's like, well, our life sucks, and that's the end of the song.
That's called The Game. I don't know if you've read The Game. that's the final chapter. You get her pregnant.
It's the lyrics to Paradise by the Dashboard Light.
He was actually, you can actually hear the statement hat that he's wearing during that song as a way of peacocking, they call it, for those who don't know. So, Eli is just somewhere in the heat.
It's so hot out.
Yeah.
I think look, Eli, I love you. There's a decent chance he just didn't want to go outside. I feel like that's possible.
I get it.
It's very, very hot out.
We were told he was having some voice slash sort of congestion issues that would lead to a bad recording.
You're acting like he didn't tell us exactly what was going on with his disgusting...
I'm trying to keep it a little, you know.
I'm just still upset that he was, like, very graphic about what was going on with his sinuses. And I didn't enjoy it.
He was at home thinking about coming out.
No thanks.
Oh, man, his ghost.
He was pondering if he was going to come to this podcast, and he's like, whatever do you mean? It didn't quite work. Like, staying home.
Somebody one time asked me, they were like, I really like the podcast, but like, what's with like Eli's voice? And I was like, that's just like how he talks all the time. Like, he's not... That's not a bit. He just sounds like that.
It's like if you, it's like, it's just his voice. You know, if he had like a, if it's like how you can like blow into a dinosaur skull and like makes the kind of like the noise they're going to make. If you
what?
Do that. Like they do it in like one of the Jurassic Park sequels, I think. They like.
You can blow into a dinosaur skull like and the, it sounds
in like. In like the sinus bone. Like, and then it makes
it's
it
like
sound.
A shofar.
And it's like.
It's, well, yeah. Because dinosaurs all sounded like that.
That's
go,
how you know all the dinosaurs were Jewish.
You know that famous, you know that famous Jurassic shofar. Park sound?
Just blow it.
So if you did it with Eli, you would get some version of this.
I'm or, only inventor.
Yeah. So, Jurassic Park, kind of like a dinosaur.
Well, like if you're just blowing into like a sinus cavity, I'm imagining that's like the only sound that would come out.
It's a it's a raptor, so picture like a version of the raptor noise.
But like that noise doesn't come out of its like bones.
It does.
Like...
It comes out of the bones. You don't know anything about dinosaurs.
Dinosaurs were great big whistles. That's basically how they worked.
They had feathers.
Didn't you see the Flintstones? At the very beginning, a dinosaur makes the noise of a horn to let people know it's quitting time.
That is true. That is true. Yeah. Wow, I didn't realize how accurate that was,
I guess. It's a living.
It's a living. It sure is.
Brutal portrayal of domestication of animals in that show.
They were made pretty middle grim class. Stuff.
I got to look at the camera and be like, well, I'm the garbage can.
Do you guys entertain that theory that the Flintstones takes place after the Jetsons?
I've heard that, yeah, or simultaneously.
Ooh.
And the Jetsons are like in the sky.
It's a class thing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
The Bernie it's Bros like a, are down on the ground with the dinosaurs.
It's a dystopic future where...
Trump was right. Folks, the jobs, they're coming back. All the mining jobs, we're going to have dinosaurs do them.
Just like the robot, like, maid or whatever. Like the so what's her name?
Rosie.
Like, Rosie. Like, just, like, laser gunning down Barney, but, like, Fred breaks through and is just, like, tearing, like, George's throat out. Like, the end of the time machine. Like, the Eloy and the Morlocks.
It's like the beginning of Saving Private Ryan.
Yeah. It's like, oh, my God. How do they get up here? Yeah, they hijack the car. That's
they get on the back of the pterodactyl.
Train, the proletariat is here.
That's such a great when this the friendly gentle misogyny when like she like he offers like the money and she takes the wallet like that move is just like such as like I gotta go shopping, you know how that is. It's like, oh yeah, wife takes all your money. Classic
bit.
Classic stuff.
I mean, we...
You know, buying stuff to provide for the family while you're at work, you dingus. Yeah.
You've heard it here first, everybody. Patty thinks people who do misogyny are dinguses.
That's it.
Harsh words.
I'm a good guy.
Monahan did not mince words when addressing the issue of misogyny.
That's right, folks.
That word was dingus.
So it's hot here.
Woo. I went to Target today to buy a fan, and Target was out of fans. No more. Zero fans at Target.
That's,
I'll tell you this, not a fan of that.
There we
How
go.
How about that?
No.
JP went for the soundboard and then realized.
I reached for a soundboard, but you got to pace yourself.
Yeah.
So, no, see, so. This is like the, like... recurring thing of the podcast is that I have no rights. Even the guest gets to use the soundboard. I'm the only person who doesn't get to use
it. I stand with Kath. I won't use the soundboard until Kath can hear it.
It's fine. The one time it was near me, I like went hog wild. The podcast was like unlistenable.
Yeah, JP is like, this elevator is for respect. I will not use the soundboard. I respect women's
podcast. The soundboard is safe from misogyny.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
I'm going to take a picture with the soundboard.
Yeah. We do have we have some new things. We have some things that we're missing that are no longer missing. So we'll be.
Oh yeah, can we play? Can we please before we get into the numbers play the new and improved?
Yeah, JP's
JP is taking a picture, respecting the soundboard.
soundboard respecter. So yeah, so we got Shelby.
Moonpie is back.
Shelby made us a pretty exciting new Moonpie. This ain't your granddad's Moonpie, folks.
we have the classic, but we have a new and improved version.
Yeah,
hit that beautiful button for me.
Moonpie, what a time to be alive.
So
Dylan goes electric.
Yeah,
it's so good.
I was saying before, it's like one of those memes where like they keep make the image grainier and grainier, and then there's just like the red eyes, like the laser eyes. It's that, but for your ears.
We were saying before, it's like it's such a shame because those are so funny, but like alt-right people have totally co-opted them. But I'm just imagining like that fish from SpongeBob, but with laser eyes.
Yeah, it's like don't waste that on like Mike Pence.
Yeah, you know? That's such a good aesthetic vocabulary.
Don't use your like powers of like making gifts with like people shooting lightning bolts for like Mike Pence to be doing it because they're gonna overturn game. You know what I mean? Like, come on, guys.
Are there memes of Mike Pence like smoking big doinks in Amish?
Probably.
I bet.
Gang.
R.I.P. to that guy.
R.I.P. Young King Dave.
Yeah, that guy was man.
Forget XXXTentacion. We didn't properly mourn Young King Dave, yeah. I don't think.
I agree. I don't want to mourn that other guy. Big King Dave, I've heard nothing but good things about.
Yeah, sweet man. Just loved his delis, loved his community.
I mean, I heard the other guy's a bad guy. I also, have a policy where like if the name really pisses me off a lot, I right. will just never listen to the music.
We talked about this with 10 Tricks Point Never. Yep, we're like, that's right. We're never listening that's to right. whatever that is. Sorry.
Same thing with movies. Like, I'm never going to see the movie. I'm sure it's not even Ain't Them Body Saints. Never going to see it.
I'm not seeing A Scanner Darkly. You
cannot drag my eyes out.
No, nothing with an adverb. I'm sorry. Like,
yeah. I mean, it's like the two.
Except Johnny Dangerously.
Okay,
that's on the table because it was on Comedy Central every day in 2003.
There's no escaping it. That's the one where he says like blah 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 once, right? Yeah, yeah. Okay,
it shoots through schools.
Yeah.
Did you know? Eli's not here, so I can talk about wrestling without getting evil-eyed. Do you know wrestler Jeff Hardy has a band called Perox Y Gen question mark?
That's good.
Very good. Extremely
he's like,
good name.
I mean, he's like. He could not ooze that like sort of like faux profound like sort of thing more. Like,
he's
that's
like
his whole thing.
I feel like it's like 30 Seconds to Mars, but like the absolute bargain basement version of that.
Yeah.
Like, that's what it is.
Did you see the 30 Seconds to Mars? Like, they have this merch now. They have all these sweatshirts that Jared Leto was modeling that just say like Russia, Bitcoin, like and it's just like things from the news. And another one was like, I think there were strains of weed. And it was a green. And then the other one, there was one of those just like sex positions. It's just like, wow, man.
Oh, so it's
merch.
Like secret code for cool people?
Yeah, pretty much.
Like only the coolest
just
people.
Just letting you know that I've had sex. That's what I'm saying.
It's like we didn't start the fire for insufferable douchebags.
But the one with the Bitcoin is the best. It's just like, here are some things. It's like, okay, Bitcoin, AI, what does this have to do with anything?
All makes you think.
But it's cool that he can get to the age of like, he's like 50 pretty much, right?
I think so.
And like not have developed like a...
I mean, I guess
brain.
He was probably 20 in my so-called life, which is like 95.
Right.
So how old is he now? I guess that makes you like 40 or 50.
He's like in his late... He's older than Ted Cruz, I think, was the thing that was going around.
Jared Leto's older than Ted Cruz?
Or the same age, yeah,
that's
I'm pretty
fucked
sure.
Up.
He's in his late 40s. And he just hasn't aged because I think because his brain doesn't like do any work.
It just
like,
doesn't process. It doesn't learn, so it doesn't process time. Like there's no linear forward progression.
Right. He's like a. It's not exactly an analogy to Dorian Gray, but like his brain is smooth, so his skin stays smooth. Like he doesn't, he doesn't add wrinkles.
He just eats a spoonful of kelp every day and like gets carried everywhere he needs to go.
Yeah,
he never expends any energy.
He's that Nick Kroll thing where it's like I have a sausage and the cigarette. And,
but we don't get fat chocolate. Because of olive oil.
Yeah, that's just him. Only it's an American guy. That's.
I saw him in Washington Square Park one time. It's like, oh, way to keep a low profile, man. That's cool.
Was he in the Joker outfit? Is that what you said?
Yeah, basically.
Let's do these numbers.
I think we warmed up enough. Why don't we get started here?
The other thing hosts
number
say.
Number five.
Yeah, no, I don't know. Yeah, that's we did a good job warming you guys up.
I think this crowd's ready. Are you guys ready for your first
I got one rule, guys, and that's when I bring up this next comic, you go nuts, okay? So everybody, let's
say whatever you want to me. I'm the host. Make fun of me if you want, but you, these comics, you respect them.
Everybody make some noise. Let's go. Let's get it going now. Let's get clapping now. Let's get ready. Right,
this next guy, he's been on AOL.com. Give it up.
Yeah.
He's used AOL.com. He had his
familiar
free name.
With AOL.com. All right. So number five here. I just noticed the headline of this, and I almost burst out laughing. This is about every time there's a World Cup.
How often are they?
Every 4 years.
Every four?
Yeah. Always seems like it's either World Cup or Olympics or like
I wasn't clear on that either.
Fashion week or
well, it's always Fashion Week.
It's always Fashion Week.
Fashion Week is like every week.
Yeah, it's exhausting.
God, I know, right?
I have to do all that
keep
stuff.
Keep up with it.
I have to go on those events.
I'm too busy with Restaurant Week. I just go to too many restaurants to keep up with fashion.
It's exhausting in the sense that I see a sign or something and I go ugh, and like I'm mad. Like that's exactly. It's not. There's no actual like activity required.
I'm just so tired of it.
Like, get out of here. I know you're all being good-looking somewhere.
Beat it, fashion.
Yeah, beat it. I'm wearing...
No, thank you.
I'm wearing shorts. All right, so there's every time there's a World Cup, they are these like animals that predict the World Cup. That's like seems to happen every time. One of the ones from this time is an octopus in Japan by the name of Rabiot, R-A-B-I-O-T, which sounds like a... early to mid 90s early game RPG enemy that you fight a lot of.
Yeah, I can see
and
that.
And it's like a rabbit, but it's a robot, Rabiot.
I can see that.
There's playground disputes over how to pronounce it.
Yeah,
absolutely.
No one's really sure.
It's either a Final Fantasy or it could be from Earthbound, because Earthbound was pretty good with the pun names, but there's only one B in Rabiot. So anyway, just a little fun for folks out there. So this octopus was predicting Japan's games. And it got all three right.
Oh, wow.
Japan won.
So this is not like the seal that was wrong that died?
No, this is not the fuck that Super Bowl seal cost me all my money.
The meanest article about the Super Bowl predicting seal and how inaccurate it was even after its death.
So this octopus, I'm trying to figure out how it picked. It's got like a little... He's got like a little
on
cool...
BetDSI.com.
Yeah, right. Yeah, he logged on to Paddy Power, and now he's got a little pool here, and there's two flags, and I guess he like swam to one or like put like a little chip in one.
He has
or something.
So many ways to point to something. What if he points four legs at one and four legs at the other?
Well, that would be how he'd trick you to start his escape because octopi are very smart. They're like aliens. So he picked all three right. It was the Columbia. So he said they would beat Colombia. He said they would draw with Senegal. They drew with Senegal. And he said they would lose to Poland. They lost to Poland.
Wow.
But as his reward, he was... So I'm not sure I'm reading this right here. He was gutted and sent to the market to be sold for food. So that's his big reward. Apparently not enough opportunity to make more money off this guy. More valuable in terms of poundage.
Like
not
appearance fees? Nothing?
Nothing. Yeah. No value.
That's so he was right. It's not like they were like, look, buddy, you've been trying, but it's time.
Well,
sorry.
Well, Japan got eliminated by Poland, right? So Japan's out of the cup. So I guess it's like, well, nobody in Japan cares anymore, man.
Oh, no. So yeah, there was nothing more for him to predict. So it's like, well, I guess this really smart octopus who knows the future, I guess, or who knows like how soccer works.
He definitely had to once he picked Poland, he had to be like starting to sweat a little bit. Not that they sweat, but you know, kind of like okay, well, I hope they stay interested in it after they lose.
He's trying to like find a new like gimmick.
Yeah.
He's like,
octopus was like on a really sad phone call with his agent. Listen, man, the phone's just not ringing anymore. I don't know what to tell you.
It's like, guy. Well,
can you do accents or are you trained in stage
will
combat?
Will you do nudity?
It's like, hey, where'd you get that kazoo? What's it doing with the kazoo in there? So I said I laughed at the headline because the headline of the Daily Mail, which is obviously everyone's favorite awful news source where you get the entire story from the headline because it's like six lines long.
I don't listen to the Daily Mail. I listen to women.
That's good.
Female.
Well played.
Thank you.
Respectful, this guy. I like it. Not a dingus.
It says, the one result he didn't see coming.
Oh, Oh, no.
Rabiot
glib
the octopus.
Bastard. Show some respect.
Who correctly predicted every outcome of Japan's World Cup group matches is chopped up and eaten before knockout stages.
So they say, like, they go full on, like, not even just like, oh, he was sold. He was chopped up and eaten.
Yeah, he was also gutted. Yeah, presumably eaten, I guess. They don't know. They didn't buy him.
Have you ever seen those videos of, like, it's like an octopus and they, like, put, like, soy sauce on it or whatever and it moves? Have you ever seen that?
They're like aliens.
Well, this is like a dead, chopped up octopus, but it's like salt or something, and it like activates its like nerves and it wriggles around. Mm. It's fucking creepy.
You can seal them in like a jar, like a mayonnaise jar, like, you know, and they just like get out because they just like have their little.
Yeah, because they're smart and strong, and we should be afraid of them.
Yeah, pretty good that we just eat them. Hey, let me
they're
get some
very
of
tasty.
Let me get some of that. Yeah, just throw that in the fryer. All right, thanks.
You ever had like grilled,
come back to buy it.
Grilled octopus? It's really good.
Yeah.
It gets all crispy.
The sub-headline here is two photos. Top of the world, where it looks he's in his little pool.
No.
Looks
the
like
before and after?
Looks like he's kind of doing this. And then
yeah, he's doing like muscle man arms.
Muscle man arms.
Celebs, where are they now?
And then I'm going to assume this is a stock photo and not an actual photo of him, but hanging from a meat hook, it says top of the menu.
Oh.
Top of the world to top of the menu.
Kathy, you're talking about a grilled octopus. So someone I know, I can't remember who it was, shared an anecdote, I think in like a group chat or something, that was like, they just tried to make grilled octopus one time. And it really seems like that's something you need to know how to do ahead of time.
Yeah, I think that's like pretty hard.
Yeah, this guy just threw an octopus on the grill and it had calamitous results.
Oh, no.
It's just like charred on the outside and a fine goo on the inside.
Just a colorless jelly, I'm imagining, is what an octopus is full of.
It's Pedialyte. That's where Pedialyte comes from.
It's just liquefied octopus guts.
So
it's really good for you. I bet I feel like is like probably some kind of skincare secret. Totally. Is like octopus guts.
Yeah, that's probably true.
Because they're like you said, they're aliens. They have like DNA that's like different than ours or something. Yeah. Creepy.
It's cool. The ocean is cool, and we shouldn't be afraid of it. We should just hang out
there. Did you read that thing about lobsters a few weeks ago?
Jordan Peterson's book. Yeah.
What will become of the lobsters in this new octopus-dominated society? These lobsters have lost their identity.
Are you saying that men can't work in the same office as women? I think it's too soon to say. It's like, okay, man. Cool. Cool life. No, what about lobsters?
Apparently lobsters don't age. Like, they don't... They do not... Like, every other animal on Earth loses sort of function with age. Like, there is, like, before death, a decline in sort of faculty and everything. Lobsters do not have that.
Do they just die?
So lobsters, it's because they have, like, more... they make telomerase, which is, like, this thing that basically caps off your chromosomes. Mm-hmm. And what happens when you age is your telomerase deteriorates. So every time your cells replicate, like, over time, your chromosomes deteriorate because you lose this like chemical. Lobsters are like the only animal that just make tons of that. So that doesn't happen to them. They die because they get so big that molting and growing a new shell is like too like metabolically intense for them.
Okay.
So either they basically explode because their shell is too small and they keep getting bigger, or they molt and then they get like eaten by something because they're soft.
Or we eat them.
Or we eat them.
Hell yeah.
Right?
Between the shells and the powerful enemies, that's what's holding back the lobster.
I mean, yeah, that's the main thing is we mostly eat them. But if we didn't, they would live to be like 200 years old.
There are Greenland sharks that have been alive longer than the United States has existed.
Yeah, like stuff,
really?
Stuff like that.
Sick animal.
It's just like...
You don't like it. You're like shaking your head like,
it's
I
like,
hate this.
It's like, no, we're the important thing on the planet. Get the fuck out of here. The sharks swimming around for 300 years.
There's like
there's
a colony of trees in like the upper like plains.
Yeah,
that's like
thousands and thousands,
like
of years
millions
old.
Of years old. It's like, and it's like one tree, like all underground. It's like one tree.
Yeah, but no, it's forest. Very important that everything bend to our will.
Exactly.
We are God made us, etc. So
we're gonna get the last laugh in nature.
That's that is true.
That's
we will get the
true.
Last.
We'll
laugh.
Kill the planet. That's no doubt about that. It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, eat that, lobsters. Fuck you.
Just a little bit more on this whole like animal World Cup predicting industry. So, as you may remember, two World Cups ago, Paul was the octopus in 2010 who predicted like all the way to the end. Was it British octopus
named Paul?
He died in October 2010, age 2.5, and without passing on his rare talent to any offspring. That's a weird way to put that. Paul.
Are
died
you trying a, to tell me that Paul died childless?
Paul died a virgin.
He was an incel.
He died a virgin.
It's women's fault that he died.
Yeah, if Paul was alive now, he would be in the alt-right.
That female octopuses only like assholes, so Paul didn't get his fair shot.
They were not impressed with his clearly great intelligence at predicting.
Paul, friend zone till the end.
He had Rick and
Paul,
Morty.
He never fucked. So R.I.P.
So that was Paul in 2010, and then we had a Rabiot here. At this year's tournament, there were also several other animals that were making selections, because apparently people were just like, oh yeah, no, he'll do it. So there was Marcus the pig, Achilles the cat, and Nelly the elephant. I don't know.
This is a case of like stage parents.
Yeah,
that's what
this is. I was thinking that exact thing. Yeah, yes, that's it.
So Achilles, I mean, how do you get a cat to do something like that? Cats do what they want. Like, it's not gonna like.
If he naps like, over here, it means
right.
This.
If he scratches my face when I pick him up, that means Germany.
It's like, okay, now pick one of those two things. This cat's like, no, I'm not, I don't. What? Who are you?
You
again?
Heard it here first. It's a draw.
Who are you?
The cat hasn't made a choice.
Who are you again? The cat is a cat, Achilles, who hails from St. Petersburg. This is really way too cute with this language here. Anyway, look, R.I.P.
R.I.P. Rabiot.
To Rabiot. They did him dirty. And it turned, I was wrong. They lost to Poland, but they still got through the round because they advanced. So they actually took care of him before he got the chance to make a prediction about the knockout round.
Wow.
Which they did lose in, but, you know.
Maybe they lost because they killed him.
Yeah.
Like, maybe he was just keeping him in.
They might as well have lost due to a lot of broken hearts. They say it was the score, but it might have been the broken hearts. Sorry, I saw Gotti, and that's...
You saw it?
Oh, yeah, it was good.
Oh, my God. We have to... This is bonus content, everybody. Yeah, you want to hear Patty's review of Gotti?
Patreon.com/WhatATimePod.
I want to make a movie called Patty, P-A-T-T-I, following Pat around the city.
Yeah. Well, hey, we'll...
Greatest city in the world.
Yep, that's it.
Number four.
And number four is, I think this one is enjoyable. There's a guy named, let's see what the guy's name is here. I don't actually see it. Doesn't say. That's weird.
Ebenezer Scrooge.
Yeah, well, okay. A man on multiple warrants, that's how they describe him, got unlucky when he was busted by the cops because he was driving drunk trying to feed a sandwich to his dog in the middle of a Michigan intersection. So,
wait, feed a sandwich to his dog?
Yeah, he was trying to feed
for his... some reason I read it as he was trying to make a sandwich for his dog, like in his car.
It says, well, it's confusing because the headline is drunk driver busted making sandwich for his dog in the intersection.
Okay, yeah, I thought he was,
but
like
the lead is talks about trying to feed the sandwich. Maybe, but technically it could be
trying to make journalism. A sandwich in an effort to feed the dog.
Yes, yeah. That is the first step.
He had like one of those Homer Simpson hot plates that plugs into the cigarette lighter in the car. He was like whipping up some fajitas.
So he was on this for some reason the story centered around the cop. I don't really understand why, but he was on patrol.
They wanted to take like an alt. It's like the Great Gatsby, yeah. How it's like not from Gatsby's point of view.
Right.
You
it's,
know?
It's like, no, it's like the Lion King 1.5 when it's from Timon and Pumbaa's point of view. Where like you just see what happens and then they get to the part where they meet and then they go to the thing. It's like that. Anyway,
it's like Heat.
Only with a drunk
it's
driver.
It's like Heat.
Yeah, it's really what it
every
is.
Every great
is like
criminal
Heat.
Has their cop counterpart and they have to, they're on a collision course.
It's the exact like the big like chase scene from Heat, but it's with sandwiches instead of guns.
Yeah.
In a Michigan intersection.
Takes
10 seconds.
So this guy was stopped at an intersection and the driver was like, well, it's kind of weird. You're just like sitting there when like you can go and you're not going.
Right.
The vehicle began to drive away, eventually failed to stop at a stop sign. So he pulled him over. He was able to smell the odor of intoxicants coming from the driver. So
I thought you were going to say you could smell the sandwich.
Smell Sandow. What do you got? What is that? Gabagool in there? What's going on?
That's why you don't roll down your window more than half an inch when it's rolled over.
It's true.
So the cops can't smell your illegal sandwich.
You can't smell that lunch meat.
Am I being detained? Sir, am I being detained? So he had multiple warrants, and he was twice the legal limit. So this guy is in jail.
Two sandwiches.
He was asked why he was sitting in the middle of the intersection. He said he was making a sandwich for himself and his dog, Lucky.
Aw.
Yeah.
So he's making two or making one to share?
Yeah, maybe it's like they each get a half. You know? That's like a nice little
cutting
moment.
The little triangles.
Yeah, it's like the...
I like this guy. He's an outlaw.
Yeah.
Him and Lucky.
Yeah, so the operator is placed under arrest. And then there's a great little sentence here. Lucky finished his sandwich and was placed in the care of a nearby family member. So they let the dog finish the sandwich.
They let the dog eat the sandwich. I feel like that's like not good. I not that it should be illegal to feed a dog a sandwich, but like that's not good for the dog.
That's
like,
that's people food.
That's people food.
Hey.
Also, like, just because a drunk guy says it's okay to feed a dog that sandwich, maybe don't give him that sandwich.
The drunk guy also implicated this dog in his crimes.
He did.
Like, he wasn't even involved.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But now, like, he's a co-defendant.
I thought, you know, like, he made me make him a sandwich.
Did this guy, like, buy cold cuts and, like, bread?
You know when you're just in your car making a sandwich?
You know, like, you have all, like, the sandwich items in your car?
Pops open the glove compartment. There's, like, a whole deli.
Because, like, you go to the grocery store, the bag goes in the trunk. You don't have access to the bag of stuff. They'll go to the deli counter, let me get a pound of ham, a half pound of Swiss cheese, or whatever.
You don't just lay it all out in a line on your dashboard?
Yeah, he's got like a little cutting board in there, he's just sitting there. You know, I guess you have the sandwich fixins, I guess that's the...
I feel like, I'm trying to think of like, what's your favorite like car snack, like when you're driving?
I gotta go with Hostess Cupcake.
A Hostess Cupcake?
Because it's like a two-time commitment, you don't need to keep reaching into the bag, you just bam, grab that cake, and then you grab another one. And you're good to go.
What color? The chocolate ones? The yellow
chocolate
ones?
Chocolate all the way through, okay. I think. Yeah. That's what you got to go with.
I like a good jerky.
Mm.
A high protein driving snack.
I've never been a big eater while driving.
We talked about this because I was shamed for saying that if I get drive through, I eat it in the car. And they all thought, everyone thought that was weird.
I do that while driving.
Yeah.
I did that on my way. I used to 100%. Drive from Connecticut to North Carolina to go to school. And
you're like you're the bad guy in the driving test video, the driving school video.
Absolutely. I am absolutely that guy. I'm like the Joker in The Dark Knight. But I'm like, I would the drive is supposed to take about 12 hours. And I did it in under 10 one time because I drove through a Burger King. Right through the drive-through and just ate everything on the highway while driving.
Absolutely.
That's a skill that you should have, I think.
I 100% agree.
Save 2 hours. Otherwise, he would have sat in that Burger King for 2 hours.
That's
just hanging out.
That put me over the top.
Multi-course meal.
Just putting out the vibe, seeing what's up. Just like sitting for long enough there, it's like, I'm gonna get nuggets. You know, I'm gonna get nuggets. Hey, come on.
Send a root beer to the lady by the ball. Put it on my tab. Sir, there is no tab here. You need to leave.
What's that? Is that Aerosmith arcade game from 20 years ago?
Where you shoot the gold records at people? I had that for Sega Genesis. I love that game.
That was like Generation X or something like that,
yes.
Right? It was some, yeah.
Aerosmith video game?
It was like one of those games where like you get behind a gun and like shoot a gun. It was Aerosmith themed. It's real.
You would shoot their gold and platinum records at criminals, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, just, I was like, who are the enemies in that? Like other
like
bands?
Record execs.
Just like when licensing was just king. It's
yeah,
like, fuck it, man.
That's beautiful.
Like
Napster. You shoot the records at Napster.
Like Steven Tyler, New Hampshire resident. I sat next to him at the circus once.
Really?
I've told that story on here, I think.
How does he smell?
I was very young.
Okay.
I was like 3 or 4, and my parents were like, that guy looks really familiar. First of all, it's weird that my parents let me sit next to someone who looks like Steven Tyler without knowing it was Steven Tyler.
Yeah.
Like,
was he in full regalia? His dress blues?
I don't think he was in full regalia, but he was dressed enough where my parents were like, oh, that's Steven Tyler.
That's either Steven Tyler or Johnny Depp, and we're not going to let our daughter sit next to whoever it is.
Yeah.
When you're talking about Steven Tyler, when you say regalia, it's spelled R-A-G-galia, because he just
is
covered in rags.
It's covered in rags.
Hair, face,
he would call them kerchiefs or something probably, but
yeah,
come on, man.
It's just
rags.
All rags. He's like a swamp monster.
Yeah. I saw him in, of all places, I was in Italy.
You saw Steven Tyler in Italy?
Yeah, I was in Capri, which is like a honeymoon island.
I know where that is.
Yeah, with my friend Don. We had a nice little trip together.
Wonderful honeymoon.
And we were at like the one place everyone goes, which is like the taverna, where like, it's not taverna because that's... Greek, but like it was like a, and they have like an acoustic guitar guy and everyone gets tambourines. It's like a whole deal. They have like the a cartoon of the guy on the tambourines that they hand out and stuff.
The pizza box guy lives there.
Yeah.
That's where he's from.
Yeah. And Steven Tyler walks in and there was like a newly married couple there and they were like, sing, sing. And he was like, I don't want to. I'm not doing that.
Fuck all you people. Yeah.
If I was Steven Tyler, I'd be like, that's going to cost you $120,000.
Yeah.
Just gets up there and does like, Janie's got a gun. So I'm going to do, fine. You want to hear? Okay, fine. I'm going to do Pink.
I'm doing new stuff.
Yeah, I'm gonna do Dude Looks Like a Lady, Love in an Elevator. None of the real hits.
All my real romantic songs. Yeah. Me, Steven Tyler.
I could see Crying ending up being crazy, maybe. Yeah.
Crazy. I guess I like know more Aerosmith songs than I thought I did.
They're kind of for a lot. They had that second run.
They had like a resurgence when I was like 10.
Yes.
With the Big Ones run.
I had that CD.
Yeah.
I don't know
why. It was
just
like hit.
It was after, because it was Armageddon.
It was before that, too, though.
Oh, okay.
Because they had the 90s run with the Alicia Silverstone videos.
Right.
And
then they went away for a few years, and then they came back.
Yeah, Dude Looks Like a Lady was in Mrs. Doubtfire, classic. Which is like a little on the nose here. I don't think it was even written for, I don't know if it was written for the movie. I think it was just like they just had a song called Dude Looks Like a Lady. It's like, is this song about you? Is this then the Aerosmith thing, other than the Armageddon thing was like, oh, this is their biggest hit by a country mile.
Yeah.
This is what you are
now.
Well,
I was 10 when that came out, so that was my first introduction to Aerosmith. Yeah. And I had the soundtrack, and they also did a cover of Come Together on it.
They did.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
That's
the story of Aerosmith.
And we did it.
David Spade had like the best joke about Aerosmith. I think it was like a Rock and Roll Hall of Fame thing. It was like, Aerosmith. Who could forget Aerosmith? Steven Tyler, Joe Perry, Tom Petty, and two other guys. No one knows the lesser Smiths.
That is, that weird. Yeah, no, you're right. They tried to give them personalities in the video for Pink because that wasn't like they could start using CGI like turn people into stuff. So it's like
they Paul Walker'd
the bassist's head on like a chick, and then it was on like a dog, and it's like, yeah. But it's like I still don't know who that guy is.
I still don't care about the bassist of Aerosmith.
Yeah, I don't. Sorry, guys.
It's Paul McCartney.
Much respect.
It's a fun fact. Little known, it's Paul McCartney.
Yeah. All right. Let's keep going.
Number three.
Number three, I feel like this is a nice topical story. This episode is coming out on July 4th, a holiday that I feel like always had a little bit of a mixed feeling about, and especially this year, it's like pretty weird. Pretty weird to like be excited for July 4th, I feel like. But,
Just have a barbecue.
Cookouts
Don't listen to Lee Greenwood probably this year. Don't need to do that.
If you're going
to
be
real specific.
Yeah.
Find one thing about America that you like and celebrate that and make it very thematic. Like the moon landing or something.
I like that.
Limited.
A moon landing themed July 4th party.
Or Chappaquiddick, whatever you're into.
My two favorite American events.
Same weekend.
Yeah.
It's nuts.
Wow.
I didn't know that until I saw the movie. Anyway.
The movie about Chappaquiddick and the moon landing?
Is there a part in Chappaquiddick where he like looks up at the moon? And
he's
like,
there is.
Wow.
He's sitting on
while
the bench.
While she's like in the car.
I should have driven off of this bridge while my brother is on the moon. There's Jack up there on the moon. Oh, Teddy's in trouble now.
This is a weird movie.
It's like, is this real? Did any of this happen?
Now I'll never go to the moon.
That's I don't even need to see it. That's good. That's all I needed.
I remember the one time I went to Martha's Vineyard, I was like 10, and my parents were like, we were like at Chappaquiddick, and my parents were like, oh, this is the place. And they like explained to me as a 10-year-old like what happened there. And that's a very weird memory I have.
Like, oh, God. Thanks for that.
Yeah.
Well, now the big attraction in Martha's Vineyard is shunning Alan Dershowitz. That's what people do.
Oh,
there
yeah?
Now.
Is he having a bad summer?
He wrote an op-ed.
Thoughts and prayers for Alan Dershowitz's social life.
He wrote an op-ed. He wrote an op-ed in The Hill about how, like, I find it amazing that all my liberal friends, that just because I'm advocating for civil liberties now, they won't even have, I'm not invited to things anymore in Martha's Vineyard. And it's like, yeah, man, these are people that were, like, fine with you defending OJ after he decapitated his fucking wife. But it's like, nope, this guy's an asshole. It's like, they were looking for a reason, pal.
They were really
and
looking
they
for
found
a reason.
It.
It's so funny that rich people can always find new stuff to give themselves headaches about. Like, they never, you can have no problems if want.
I just feel like I'm going to sleep a little better at night knowing that, like, his summer is inconvenient. Yeah. Like,
I mean, that's all you can do with these people, right? Like, yeah. Oh, man, it sure seems like he's miserable. It's like, well, good. He should be.
He absolutely should be. I love that all of his asshole friends won't talk to him anymore.
Like, I hope he gets a lousy beach chair from the kid who works at the beach and takes it as a slight and thinks about it all day.
I want that so much. That is all I want.
Because he wrote the article yesterday and everyone, like, laughed about it for, like, the whole, the next, like, 18 hours or whatever. And then he posted a thing today. He was like, I'm actually reveling in this. I think it's just really, you know, basically, like, I'm not mad, I'm laughing. Like, it's like, dude, you're really fucking doing this right now? Don't you have anything else to be doing than getting on your phone and writing a one of two? I'm not mad.
He has no social engagement.
I don't know.
Go write
an amicus brief or something. I don't know, dude. You're a legal genius, etc.
Well, I feel like this is kind of a heartwarming July 4th story that we can all feel good about. There's a slight personal connection. I know one of the people in this story. So this tweet
went
viral. It's Alan Dershowitz. My close personal friend, although lately we have not spoken very often. Alan Dershowitz.
Uncle Alan, I'm sick of it. You're out.
There's this lady in Houston who, for the last 20 years, she has worn the same 4th of July, like, shirt. Like, her special 4th of July, it's a dress, I guess. The same 4th of July dress every year. And, you know, like, people do that. They, like, wear the flag and everything. So it's, like, American. There's, like, stars, stripes, whatever. Anyway, because of the World Cup, she realized that she had actually been wearing a Panamanian flag for 20 years. And her grandson is a comic in Houston named Dale Cheeseman. He's very funny. Check him out. But he posted about it, and he has, like, he has all the pictures to back it up. Like, she's been wearing a Panama flag for, like, 20 years.
It's such a grandparent thing to, like, have, like, the this is my 4th of July shirt.
It's so cute.
Yeah. It's like my grandpa had, like, his, like, Easter, like, outfit. Or he had, like, his Christmas socks. You know, you just have, like, that, like, thing that's like, well, this is, like, the little extra thing I bring on, like, the holidays.
Yeah,
or whatever.
Just be festive. Be fun.
Well, the Panama thing, it's, like, it's an easy mistake to make because it's, like, a little stripe section and, like, a blue star on a white background. Yeah. And, like, there's red stuff. And it's, like, but then you realize, like, yeah, when you look at it all in the aggregate, it's, like, oh, this is meant to be that thing. But it's, like, no, it looks like it's, like, a deconstructed kind of, like, America thing, on some level.
How many flags are made up of the same shit?
Right.
Like, most of them,
they
right?
All have, yeah, they have, like, different versions. Like, there were, like, three things that people could make into flags when
and
they were making flags.
Wasn't Panama, like, I'm gonna get roasted if this isn't right, but, like, they were basically, like, a colony of America during the construction of the Panama Canal, right?
Yeah.
Weren't we, like, in charge of them?
Well, there was a lot of work involved with the canal. That's about all I have.
I just feel like anything that was, like, a previous colony, the flag always looks like... Like, there are so many Union Jack-looking flags. I feel like Panama's flag looking like... I was just like, oh, that's because we, like, owned that country for a while.
That's not... That tracks to me mentally, but, I have no idea if it's true or not. But it's like, yeah, it's either look.
Listeners... Do not correct us. Thank you.
Please do not email the show.
Flag scholars, stay home. Yeah. We don't need your input.
Flag
on
day's
this
over
one.
Already, okay? See you next year.
But there really is a limited creative cachet when it comes to flags because, like, Ireland and Cote d'Ivoire just have the same flag but backwards. They just ran out of ideas so fast.
Here's your options. You get three vertical stripes, you get like six horizontal stripes.
Circle's taken.
Yeah,
you can't.
Circle's done.
If you want a sun, it's got to be this sun.
What's your favorite flag? Do you have a favorite flag?
Isn't Tibet a different shape? Tibet is like, I don't know if it's a recognized country, but it's like two triangular segments.
Don't push your politics on us here. Right?
I'm bringing my East Asian politics degree into this.
I like Brazil a lot.
Brazil's
cool.
I don't know.
There's a Street Fighter character from Brazil that I remember as a little kid, and that got me into the Brazil flag in a big way.
Yeah.
Big Blanca head.
I think
there.
It was Blanca. Used to smash cars.
That's true. They all used to smash cars.
Right. I did it with Blanca.
And then the guy would come out and just be like, oh, my car. That was the best. Like, why do they put that guy in the
why
game?
Why are there consequences in this video game?
They had to exchange information. An insurance claim.
What are you going to say? It's like this guy just like was shooting fireballs and smashing my car. This guy, or Blanca's like this green monster.
Can you describe the man?
Yeah, well, hey, are you going to like pay for that? Or like I got a court date here. Come on, man. I like Brazil. I like
Korea.
The American flag is very busy to me.
Yeah, there's too much going on. I think it's like two flags in one.
I also don't like the I don't like the lack of symmetry. I feel like the, I find symmetry appealing in those kind of things, and it's not really. I don't know.
I don't like. I like round shapes. Like I don't like. I don't like all the angles. I don't want
and too many stars.
Too many.
We gotta knock a few of those off.
If the state start acting up, you're off the flag.
Perhaps we should have one blue star, one red star, a blue section, and a red section, and just have the same thing as Panama.
And just have a circle that represents the discourse and civility.
Yeah, in the middle.
Well, uniting the red and the
blue.
I'm
sure we can have a very rational debate about this. If anybody ever proposed this, they would not be screamed at forever. Just like the idea of like changing the national anthem to something other than the Star Spangled Banner, because Star Spangled Banner is a very hard song. Not particularly, super hard. You know.
Hit me with that. We have several now, I guess, of the national anthem related.
Yeah. Well, this is my.
I'll make up for it now.
World class.
He ad-libbed in the middle of the national
best
anthem. He did a DJ drop in the middle of
the idea that you're like you can't you know you can't deliver what you're promising.
Find this one.
Wait, can you do before we started talking or started talking on mic? JP was telling us about a drop that the Connecticut hip hop radio station used to have.
Correct me, listeners, if I'm wrong, but I remember on Hot 93.7, Connecticut's hip hop radio station, every now and then you'd hear "Throw up on yourself." The greatest drop in history.
Which is just not, there's no scenario in which that's good. That doesn't go anywhere good. Unless you're like, gonna die of alcohol poisoning and it's your body getting the poison out.
I'll be honest, when I was 17 and I heard that, I'd be like, knows what I'm gonna do.
I like the idea of a drop that's like, get the poison out. Yeah,
right. Make the sadness go away.
Activate that gag reflex. That's why it's there.
Burn up your teeth.
Just like no, like is that? There's no just like sitting in like the like just a guy all like dudded up in like the club, like looking fancy with like chains and everything. And he just like got like a bottle and he just goes like, bleh. It's like you're out of here. There's no and nobody wants to talk to you because you smell like puke. Which is like gives everyone the same reaction. Yeah,
get out of my cab.
The puke's all in the chains.
Oh, it's all caught in the chain links.
Yeah. It's in the VIP velvet. It's never coming out of that velvet.
Puke does not come out of velvet easy. No way.
It's throw.
But seriously, folks, throw up on yourself.
Throw up on yourself.
I feel like we covered Panama flag pretty well.
Please do not say that I don't like the American flag. Thank
Scandinavia.
You.
I like those flags.
Those are good. It's a great flag group. I like a cool toned color palette.
Yeah.
And Sweden. I like Sweden, Finland, very good. Red. It's so angry. Yeah.
I like the they're not national flags, but in like. The former states in Italy all have their own flags.
Mm.
So like Sicily has that weird ass flag with like the 3 feet around the head.
Yeah, that one's cool.
And then also like
did you learn that from Gotti?
What? No, it was to go even deeper. There was a in Siena they have like this thing called the Palio. It's like a horse race that's like twice every year. It's like this thing where these guys are like killing each other, but it's like neighborhood based.
Yeah,
and every neighborhood has their own flag, so they all have like very like. Cool, like there's one that's like the I have the one that's
Bay
like
Ridge,
like
Bensonhurst.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, yeah. It's like that. Those are all pretty cool as well. So I like those flags. So check
I like
those
California
out.
Has a good flag. The Colorado bear. Has a good flag.
I like the bear.
Colorado's
like
got a sick one.
Yeah.
New York's not great. It says Excelsior on it though, which is fun. New
that's
York State
pretty
motto.
Rad. I feel like every New England state is just like a picture of a ship. Like that's every flag.
It's like a ship or some kind of finch or something. And this is all we knew how to draw, okay? That's all we could see, and it's all we knew how to draw. It was this or us gunning down Indians. So, you know, you take your pick on how you want that to go.
How about a nice stone wall? There's a lot of stone walls in New
that's
England
true.
For no reason. Put
that's
one of those
true.
On a flag.
Yeah. A nice stone wall in the woods.
Yeah. For
nothing scary about that. Just a stone wall in the woods.
We shall build walls in the woods to keep us from fucking each other.
So this isn't a stone wall. This is actually a cairn. There is a dead body in there.
Yeah.
So anyway, good luck sleeping.
Did they
tonight.
Have those in Connecticut where you grew up?
Yeah. Totally.
I guess it because it used to be like farmland, and then all the trees would grow.
People are way into their property.
It's creepy. Yeah. Creepy.
Stay off my land.
Don't like it.
Anyway, New England.
Throw up on yourself.
Bunch of creep. Throw up on yourself. Just say that as like you're greeting to somebody. Oh, throw up on yourself.
That's what the Latin on the Connecticut flag translates to. It's throw up on yourself.
Is it now? Do we think it's throw up on yourself or throw up on yourself? It's yourself.
It's got to be yourself.
Yeah. It's yourself. If
memory serves.
That's. I love it.
Number two.
Okay, number two is. I feel like, again, like we do a lot of weird stories on this show. I feel like this one really makes me say the title of the podcast. This is a very 2018 story to me. So.
Makes me say, come town. Wait, no, what's happening?
Makes me say, bong hit transplant.
Bong hit transplant podcast would be fucking rad. Okay, so there was a environmental group in Poland that placed a tracker on...
They went to the sun at night. Sorry.
Yeah, they got in their screen door on a submarine. And,
it is nice that it's Poland.
Their energy they conserve energy by having way too many people to screw in light bulbs. It takes so many people to turn the chair that they can't.
It's okay because actually today Poland just had a really scary purge of their Supreme Court. So now it's no longer an independent part of the government. So they're bad. So it's fine. That's, you know, we can just make fun of them for that.
That's a clunky punchline, though.
Yeah, that doesn't work as well.
Oh, I'm not saying that's the punchline. I'm saying that they appear to be dumb. From
how many Polish Supreme Court justices did it take?
That's why they couldn't work
to
anymore,
ruin the government.
They were all screwing in the light bulb. That's why they couldn't get there.
Well, they're, you know, they are very energy conscious because there's three light bulbs for every 9 million people in Poland. God damn it.
So what happened in Poland, by the way?
Sorry, Eli.
a Polish environmental group placed a tracker on a white stork, presumably to learn how babies are made.
Yep. Where do you pick up the babies?
They wanted to know the source. So they put a tracker
they
on the
saw
bird.
That like they saw that animated movie with like Kelsey Grammer doing the voice of this like the storks the movie and it's like
I fucking forgot about that movie
and
shit.
Then their smartest people needed to track storks based on that. That's based on the children's movie which they thought was real.
So they were learning where they got the babies from, and they put a tracker on the stork, and the stork flew 3,700 miles before it was traced. And then, so 3,700 miles from Poland is apparently Eastern Sudan.
Yeah.
So the stork went to Eastern Sudan, and then they were like, this is weird. The stork doesn't seem to be moving very much anymore. And they realized they were tracking it. They were using like a SIM card in a tracker so that they could locate it. And someone in Sudan just took the SIM card out and used it to rack up $2,700 in phone bills.
Just like Vodafone?
Just in-app purchases?
What is all this Candy Crush? What's going on here? Come on.
Well, I'm probably generalizing in an inappropriate way, but I do know that like in Africa, a lot of people don't have computers, so like smartphones are how you do a lot of like commerce and sending money and things like that.
It's a big Apple store.
That's
basically what it is.
Africa is one giant Apple store.
Uh-huh. Everyone's wearing a blue shirt.
That is where a lot of the mines of the rare earth metals are. So.
It's true.
In a way.
Oh, fuck. It's true. In Steve Jobs' fantasy, it is one giant Apple store. And then underneath the Apple store is where they just mine all the metals for it. So somebody in Sudan just like, I guess, found a dead bird.
I mean, what presence of mind to find a bird one way or another, living
hustle.
Or dead. Yeah, you notice that a SIM card is on the bird and then you go to extract it. How do you even do that? Who's out running a stork and chasing them down for their technology?
It does show some entrepreneurship. Also, like, imagine you do this and it works and you're just like, yeah, I have a phone now.
Just calling.
Yes!
Just immediately calling only phone sex lines.
Like, in other countries.
There's no way they're going to bill me for this. They don't know where I am.
Just go nuts, man.
What the fuck is this bird doing? Why am I getting all these phone sex bills?
That's like the first guy who ever put his wet phone in rice and it worked. But this times a million, he found a bird with a SIM card and he got free phones.
phone calls. 20 hours of calls. Like, in like 2 weeks.
Every single one was like, you are not going to fucking believe what happened.
Oh, man, how'd you get your phone service back on? It's like, dude, you're not. This is pretty sick. You're going to believe this. So the stork was 3,700 miles. yet another piece of evidence that, like, how many miles could you get before you died or had to, like, walking?
It is unclear, like, what happened to the stork. Like, it doesn't say, like, what... So maybe he caught the live one because he saw it had a tracker. Like, I'm wondering if it's, like, a pipeline of, like, everybody in this town knows, like, oh, yeah, the Polish people keep sending storks with the SIM cards
maybe,
on them.
Maybe the baby grabbed the tracker before it got dropped, you know?
Yeah, that's... And then,
A little hand reached out of that, like, little nap sack.
Yeah, I feel like the free phone is, like, a reasonable exchange for the baby that this guy now clearly has to raise.
Right.
You know? So... Good for him.
Were they mad? Did they, like, try to get the money back from the guy?
How did it have that much
stuff on it?
The Polish people just have to pay it.
What? So this makes me think that the Polish tracking device for this stork was just a phone.
It just had, like, LTE on it.
They talked to the bird.
That's what's so weird. It's like, it says that they realized what had happened when they got the phone bill for the tracker.
So it was like Deutsche Telekom or something. And it's like, something happened. I don't know what.
Hey,
maybe our stork just got really smart. Yeah. Like, we don't know.
Look, I know it's crazy, flying? But a lot of evidence points to this bird buying things on the internet.
Look, the simplest explanation. But yeah, they didn't find whoever it is. Like, they did not locate them. Hopefully, I'm hoping it's, like, one super altruistic person who's just, like, hooking up their whole, like, Sudanese village.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Everybody gets to play Pokemon Go.
Everyone gets to play Pokemon Go.
Everyone gets to play Pokemon Go.
You know how there's a lighter on a string at the bodega by the door? There's just a phone by this thing in the middle of town. Everyone can use it.
The town phone. Yeah. I hope so. But yeah, that's the story of the Polish stork.
He basically played Pokemon Go in real life, and he got... He got a very good item.
Oh, man. It's like reverse Pokemon Go. You catch the Pokemon and then you get the game. It's wild.
I got to sell you, Stork. This is awesome. These are so rare. It's 150 hit points.
Oh, boy. Well, I respect that guy. That's all I have to say.
The bird respectors.
Oh, the bird especially, yeah. The bird.
And flag respectors.
I hope the bird's not dead, but the bird is almost certainly dead.
The bird's got to be dead, right?
Yeah.
The bird does not make it out of this story alive, I don't think.
Yeah. Well,
I hope the baby did, at least.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this week's number one reason to say what a time to be alive.
Oh, it's me. Sorry.
It is you.
I didn't realize it was also me. This story, I find this very exciting. I think this is also one that, hit me with that enhanced moon pie.
Moon pie. What a time to be alive.
Hell yeah.
Sir. This one checks a lot of boxes.
This one really does check a lot of boxes. So, we all know Juggalos, right?
I mean,
maybe not personally, but...
I don't know if I know any Juggalos personally.
I know one Juggalo personally.
It's like Brian Quimby is the closest that I would...
He's a Juggalo. He counts.
So,
Street Fight Murder Brian is definitely a Juggalo.
I had a phase where I could have gone down that path when I was much younger.
Yeah.
But I didn't. I diverged.
Where did you diverge to?
Yeah, could have been family. I think I went like the jock sports route and I could have, but there was like a brief phase where I was like pumped about ICP.
There were just like two CDs. One of them was The Great Malenko and the other one was Jock Jams Volume 3. And I was like, there's no room in between these two things.
I got to get rid of one of these.
And like your dad's like worried and then he hears upstairs like...
That guy's in jail for child pornography.
Yeah, he's not good.
So he's worse than the Juggalos.
Good
Juggalos,
so
not problematic. Right. Yeah, so Juggalos, I feel like they were a punchline for a while, but like we've come back around on Juggalos because they are now our allies. They hate Trump.
We owe Juggalos an apology.
We really do.
They're like the French in the Revolutionary War.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're
really
a sovereign nation.
They're a sovereign nation, and they've chosen to help us out, and we appreciate it. But
none of this takes away from the fact that the Tom Sharpling, Paul Tompkins Juggalo breakdown on the best show
it's the best.
Still one of the funniest things I've ever heard in my life. But and it was before the SNL sort of thing started to pick up. But
it's
that said, just think of it more as a good-natured ribbing.
I know people who have done stand-up at Gathering of the Juggalos.
Yeah.
And everybody who's gone is like, it's a blast. Hannibal did it. Super fun. Hannibal did it. Like
Teal Tequila, one of my favorite comics.
One of my favorite comics.
Well, she just like got like rocks thrown at her or something. Like, yeah. Not great.
I don't know if it's fun for everybody. I think she might have gotten whipped with a battery. Yeah. But
wait, you said the SNL thing related to ICP, and I just immediately and your musical guest, Insane Clown Posse.
I wonder if they've ever done it.
Whoop, whoop.
Don Pardo was a big juggler.
Can we get a sound clip of whoop, whoop?
My ninja.
But yeah.
Why are they making me say this?
I'm in so much pain.
Just let me die. All right.
Well, yeah, so we could all be more like juggalos, right? Like they marched on Washington.
They don't judge people.
Your jeans could always, your jean shorts could always be bigger, guys.
It's true.
It's like that Workaholics episode, man. You know, everybody's welcome in the family.
It's true. It's absolutely true. But they also, it turns out, juggalo makeup fools facial recognition software.
Yeah.
So like, if you're going to be out there, I just think that like, this is further evidence that like, Antifa and juggalos need to come together and become one thing.
It's an I Am Spartacus situation.
Yeah.
You won't be able to tell them apart. I am juggalo. I am juggalo.
That's the actually, it's weird. The reason the facial recognition stuff doesn't work is because it identifies everyone as Violent J.
Right.
That's what happens.
Well, juggalo, it's like, is it a fat guy or a skinny guy? There's no in between. Which fat guy is it? Well, there's a lot of fat guys. There's a lot of skinny guys.
No one's
wearing the Shaggy 2 dope makeup. Is that what's happening? What a.
You have to, that's the thing. It's like, they've just volunteered to be like, well, it's fine. Pin everything on us.
Yeah.
You're either Violent J or Shaggy Tudo.
I mean, if you didn't think the Juggalos were a tactical group of people, well, guess again.
Okay? Yeah.
Because they are ready to go for the Civil War 2.0.
You could get hit with a hatchet in the back of the head before you even realize. They're ready to fight.
Yeah, I just
the U.S. Army is going to start using this technology.
Absolutely.
There's no doubt.
I think this is going to be like, because I've already seen like some sort of conceptual stuff like this. I think this is going to be like a fashion trend. Next Fashion Week, which is tomorrow and lasts until...
And the following week.
Yeah. It's until July 4th, 2019, I believe. I think we're going to be seeing some like, if not juggalo, then at least like makeup that is designed to...
Juggalesque.
Juggalesque, yeah. Design like gothy and designed to confuse facial recognition.
It's going to be like
software.
Derelict from Zoolander.
Yes.
But you know what I've seen? I don't know if this is related, but like there are people now who have seen out in public just sincerely wearing those, like, remember V. Stiviano in the whole Donald Sterling thing where she wore that visor that covered her whole face? People are wearing those now. They're coming
back in a big
way.
I've definitely seen those.
Are you sure those aren't just old-timey accountants?
They could just be welders. Welders loose.
Welders, members of Daft Punk.
Well, I feel like Asian tourists have like they wear like the what I used to call the SARS masks because that's just what I assumed the genesis of them was.
Okay, I feel like I've yelled about this on the podcast before, so stop me if you've heard it already. We need to make those normal in New York City. We would get sick so much less if we didn't.
It's got to be one or the other.
They literally started doing that during the 1918 flu outbreak. Like, this is 100-year-old technology that we should adopt, but we don't because it looks weird.
It does look weird.
You know why?
It's creepy.
It doesn't send a very chill vibe out when it's like, what do you know that I don't? What is, okay, what am I going to catch now?
Okay, but think about it this way. You don't like being touched, right? If you wear one of those, people stay the fuck away from
that's
you.
That's a good point.
Because that's why people wear it, because like people, they wear them when they are sick and they don't want to spread the germs to other people. So it's like,
that's the thing is, that's when I think you should do it, is I think if you're sick and you're out, like if Eli came here, I'd be like, where's your mask, buddy?
Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't.
And he'd just be like, I assume you can talk a little better than that in them, but I've never worn one.
That's the thing is, I don't think like everyone should wear them all the time, but I think if you're sick.
Everyone should just wear Bane masks all the time.
Hello, welcome to the podcast.
I'm going to record today's podcast from inside a bubble, if that's okay with you guys. I'm just trying to be respectful. Got a couple of tall boys inside my bubble. You know, I got to get fluids. The doctor says I got to hydrate, so I'm drinking a couple people.
This is good.
I wonder if he's going to listen to this.
It's like he's here.
It's like he's here.
That's how we'll know if he listened to this. If
that's
he responds
gets mad.
Why did you make me sound like Tom Waits? Yeah.
Like, why do I sound like I live in a shack and sleep in a clawfoot bathtub. In a
he
room.
Wishes he lived in a shack.
No,
and slept
I know,
in a
I know. He's a huge
bathtub.
Phony. That's the whole point with him. He lives in like the fucking
wow.
Hollywood Hills. Or
going
whatever.
In, going in.
I don't.
He
I,
flies into the pod every week from the Hollywood Hills.
You don't know. I'm talking about Tom Waits.
Oh,
Tom
oh okay. I thought you were being mean to Eli. I was like, whoa. I'm
talking about Tom Waits. Because Tom Waits, his whole thing is like
he's
like
a phony, yeah.
He's like, I'm eating a can of beans, and I got one of those stovepipe hats, but the top is up, you know, because it's like opened like
it
a can.
It mimics the can of beans, yeah.
And ride the rail. It's like, oh, yeah, what kind of car do you drive? Tesla, Model 3. it's like, come on, man.
I mainly just do Uber and Lyft everywhere.
Yeah, I don't know. It's the whole shtick is it wears on me, folks. That's all I'm saying. Anyway, Juggalos. They're going to be the ones who are on the front line.
They're going to save us. I
welcome
think they're
to the
save
resistance.
Us. Yeah. Welcome to the resistance. Vote for Ocasio.
They look way less lame than like the dipshit like Patriot Prayer guys who like put on all the gear.
Oh, yeah.
There was a guy who
tactical
had
tactical guys.
There was a guy who had on like a he made like a peppy costume. He's like a big fat redheaded guy who like
the frog.
You know, in another like in another world, you would just like go do mics or something. Like you don't have to do this. You know what I mean? Maybe it's better that you're just getting beaten up.
I mean,
whatever.
At least like I don't have to watch that open
one
mic
less
set.
Comic.
But...
Yeah, exactly.
But you're
hey, one less.
Right.
Hey, stay out of the. Yeah, it's fine. Well, actually, no, they're lower than me on the list, so that's okay.
The vibe of those gun guys is like guys who will do anything to protect themselves except work out a little bit.
Yeah, just like go to the gym like once a week. No, too much. I'll spend $10,000 on an AK-47 instead.
That kid probably did go to Mike's. They're all comedians, all those guys.
That's, they're
the
all
crying Nazi
comedians.
Was a comic.
Yeah.
Pretty
they all
cool.
Are.
Good industry. Good. Good.
Yeah,
good.
Full circle. We started talking about how emceeing is impossible, and we're ending by saying, hey, guys, don't do comedy.
What happens is it gets so hard and it gets so frustrating that you just become a Nazi. That's how it goes.
It's radicalizing people.
Yeah. Or you quit, and then everyone else moves up one slot.
Exactly. So everybody subscribe to our Patreon so that we don't become Nazis. That's what we're telling you.
Yeah, that's it. It's like the National Lampoon cover. It's like, buy this magazine or we'll kill this dog. Only it's us.
Be a real shame if we turned into Nazis.
You guys know? Yeah, well, let's do a little bit of plug action, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, Elon Musk Memorial Plugs time.
Yeah, this is true.
That's what it's called now.
Well, let's do JP's first.
R.I.P. Elon.
what do you got?
First of all, I want to say R.I.P. Elon Musk, R.I.P. Young King Dave. I got a weekly show at Lucky Jack's if you live in New York City. That's on the Lower East Side. Every Wednesday at 9, it's called Too Many Cooks. Follow me on Twitter if you don't mind. That would be really cool. That's where I post everything, my idle thoughts, my plugs. My dumb bullshit that has no other place. So just add JP_McDade.
McDadeBaby.com.
That's right.
McDadeBaby.com. Too Many Cooks, very well booked show.
Really fun show.
Very good show. Have not done it, but I've heard it's great.
We had Kath. We'll never have Patty, had Kath.
I think I was on the first one, so eat that. Motherfucker.
No,
fuck you. No,
I'm actually reveling in it.
We'll get the sweet Patty
like,
on.
I'm just like Dershowitz.
For all the listeners, Patty, I'm campaigning for Patty.
It's a great show. So definitely check it out if you're in the city. And for us, I don't know, we have I want to say we got we keep it simple. Patreon.com is What a Time Pod, like we said. We got
throw up on your Patreon.
Throw up on your Patreon. We got a bunch of episodes, so if you haven't signed up yet, you have hours of stuff to go through if you are so inclined to do so. Think of how much time you can pass. It's unbelievable.
You're really selling this. You have a lot of stuff to go through.
Yeah.
Think about how much time you can pass.
It's true. Also, it's good. Hey, if you like the show, maybe leave us a review on iTunes. I think that's something that is supposed to be good for the thing, like the algorithm
review
or whatever.
It. 5 stars.
Ideally 5 stars.
Unsubscribe from the podcast and then resubscribe.
If you don't like it, keep it to yourself. That's my take on it.
Yeah, that's fine. You can turn it off.
If you don't like it, you can cram.
Cram.
Cram. You can throw up on yourself.
Yeah, there you go. I'm Patty Mill on the stuff. Come to Karma on Fridays, and that's it for me.
I don't think I have any shows this week. I have shows next weekend, so I will plug those on the next one. Stay tuned. I have two other podcasts, WrestleSplania, where I explain pro wrestling to my friend Rachel Millman, and Lie, Cheat, and Steal, which is about liars, frauds, thieves, and bullshitters with my friend comic Pat Soroyce. Check those out. And I'm Kath Barbadoro on everything, and thank you for listening.
Yeah, so we'll see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you.